when God first started dealing with me about the matter that I'll speak about this morning, one of the first things it says is talking about the Holy Spirit, and one of its responsibilities is telling us things to come, it says in 14, 15, 16 chapter of John. The Holy Spirit does tell us things that are to come. One of the ways to guide us is He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next year, and I don't. So how can I make a wise decision not knowing what's going to be in my own future? But the Holy Spirit does. So at the first of the week, and I got my idea pretty quick in the week, I had no idea that at the end of the week we'd be dealing with a tornado. He didn't tell us about that. But He did tell us to be ready for everything, so I guess that covers that. If you will turn, please, in 1 Timothy, in chapter 4. The title is Apostate. Let me explain something. We've got apostles, there's that word. Those are the people who followed Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, but those who worked with Him and saw Him. Those are apostles. Then we've got this thing called apostate that doesn't have anything to do with that. An apostate is someone who falls away from the true doctrine of the church. And the act of doing that is called apostasy. And so we're talking about this morning, I started out, my idea was that we would be dealing about current events, something that's going on now that's on your TV nearly every day. But then in the middle of that, another issue came up because of that. And so it's really, in a way, going to be a two-part sermon today, but it's not a very long one, so maybe we can bear with it. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly," that's the Holy Spirit, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Now let me go back over that and kind of give an overview of what he's talking about. It says the Holy Spirit told Paul in that day that after that time, that's what it means by latter days, not the last days of the world, but just latter days from then, that people would leave believing, would quit believing the true beliefs and doctrines of the Bible that apply to the church. And that they would start believing lies told them by demons to false teachers whose consciences were seared with a hot iron or were no longer sensitive. They have no conscience about what they're doing. Who teach people who don't know any better. Now that expression, seared with a hot iron, the Romans branded their slaves in their forehead, and they had no more feeling where the hot iron had been. And that was a term that was used that these people were actually being branded by Satan. And they had no more feelings in their minds. Their consciences were destroyed. And they don't care what they say. And when you, who are used to being able to recognize when somebody is telling a lie, you watch somebody really close and they're talking to you and you think that they're lying, but you can't see it in their eyes because it doesn't seem to be bothering them at all. We got a lot of people in our government like that today. They have believed lies and they're teaching us lies and they have no conscience whatsoever about it. And you wonder how that can be. This is the explanation right here. The way it says to identify these people that have left the true belief is that they will forbid people to marry and command not to eat meat. The latest records I heard in 2019 was that marriage is down 45% from what it normally is. So that is can apply to our era at least. And there are people who are commanding not to eat meat. Well, that's bigger than some of us realize. I happen to be a fellow that's been in the cow business more or less off and on all my life, and I got connections with people in Texas. That there are people in the cattle country, the main cattle country now, that are trying to do away with the raising of cattle. The whole deal. They've gone to all kinds of different ways to try to destroy the cattle business. And their idea is that cattle primarily, but other farm animals also, are causing the ozone layer to break down. And they say that is what is causing climate change. And because they're causing the climate to change and the earth to get warmer and warmer, that the glaciers in the North Pole and South Pole are going to melt and we're all going to drown. There are people who have made a great deal of money off of preaching this. The people that I know that are behind forbidding to eat meat, commanding not to eat meat, is the people who are concerned about climate change. Now, as far as I'm concerned, these people who are telling us that there is such a thing as climate change, there's no way to verify that in God's Word. But the people that are saying it honestly believe it. Some of them do. Some of them don't believe it, but they just use it as a way to preach to themselves, to get something for themselves. But it says that they have left the faith. They are believing the doctrines of Satan. And if these people who are telling us not to eat beef and pork and chicken, who are doing away with meat, they tell me that the governor of Colorado is beginning to have state holidays where nobody eats meat. And it's a movement all over. It's really, really bad. And if they have quit believing God and have left the correct beliefs, if they're now believing Satan and telling us that there is such a thing as climate change and we ought to do away with raising of livestock, and the people which believe and know the truth, why would I want to listen to them? So as far as I'm concerned, that's a lie of Satan, the whole thing is. And there are some Christians I know, because I've had talks with them, who believe that climate change is real. But according to this, In my mind, there's no such thing. Okay. Then that comes up to another issue. These people who are leaving the true beliefs. I was raised in a Baptist church, and I have been taught since I was big enough to listen that the Baptists believe that if you're saved, once saved, you're always saved. And that brought that question to my mind. I've never done a study on it, but I attempted to do one this week. I will share with you my conclusions on that and see what your Holy Spirit would tell you. The scripture, let's first read in Hebrews in chapter 6. There is an interesting thing about Hebrews chapter 6. It's a part of scripture that I've studied for several years because one of the expressions of the church is this thing about backsliding. I quit believing backsliding years ago because of this scripture right here. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." Now, I understood, God explained to me years ago through the Holy Spirit, that people who were once saved, if they do fall away from the true doctrine, they can't be brought back. I believe that. I believe that for years. So I didn't believe in backsliding. I believe that the people who people say have backslid never were saved to start with. That they went to church and people used church attendance as their assessment of who was and who was not a Christian, and the people quit going to church, so they assumed that they had fallen away. So that tells me then that if someone does fall away, if it's possible, they can't be brought back. So let's look then. Oh, let me say this while I'm there. Those words, until I looked at the definition of those words, I didn't probably have as solid a belief. But it says they're describing an apostate, someone who has left the belief in correct doctrine. Enlightened definition is they saw the light. They understood, in other words. They understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says they tasted. That word is experienced. They experienced the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were partakers or sharers of the Holy Spirit. Now you know that I've taught, and I believe myself, that the confirmation of a person being born again is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's the way you know if people are saved or not, if they're born again or not, if they're a Christian, is by the presence of the Holy Spirit in them. Now, if they're saved and the Holy Spirit, that part of God that He placed in them because they were saved through Jesus Christ, they're going to start acting more like Jesus. That's what you look at. You don't look at where they go or what church they belong to or what denomination they belong to or whatever. You look for Jesus in a person, because if He's in there, He'll start changing them to look like Him. So then, with that being said, it sounds to me like they're describing a person there. If he's a partaker or sharer of the Holy Spirit, then it sounds to me like they're saying that he was born again. So look at Romans, if you will, please, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. The scripture that the people that I know who have always taught me that once saved, always saved, the scripture that they used to back up this doctrine was this scripture here, starting with the 35th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now, look at those things that Paul is talking about here that might separate us from a belief in Jesus Christ as a Christian. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. All of those are things that happen to us as Christians that come from outside of our body. They're things that are going to happen to all of us. In this world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said, but take cheer, I have overcome the world. So none of the things that happen to us can take us away from Jesus Christ or from the love of Christ. As it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So what it says is he is able to keep us, those that he has chosen. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is another list of things that is unable to separate us from Jesus. There's one thing that when I read this, that God showed me that I didn't think about. That list, those two lists, covers just about everything that could keep us from loving Jesus except for ourselves. That's not listed. So then, is it possible then for me to quit being a Christian because of what I believe? If you turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11. Jesus was explaining to his followers as he was preaching to them, and he said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. That is Satan's business, lying to us. That's what he does. And the followers of Satan tell lies. As Jesus said in another place, the people who lie to us about false doctrine are all children of Satan, who was the father of all liars. So in many false prophets, Jesus said, shall rise and shall deceive many. And many false, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He states here, Jesus himself does, that we will be, many false prophets and false teachers shall rise and teach us lies, and because of that, our love for him will grow cold. Doesn't say we'll lose it, says it will grow cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, several of us have discussed in private conversations for several years all these things about warnings that if we are born again, if we endure, we'll be saved. You know the song we sing, Hold On. Hold on to the hand of Jesus. So it says here that we need to endure if we'll be saved. And look at verse 24. And here's another bit of information that further makes it a little bit harder for me to understand. Because in verse 24, for there shall rise false prophets, Jesus here again is speaking, false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now he says again in the same chapter that false prophets and false Christ will rise and tell us lies. And if it were possible, some of us may even fall away. It doesn't say it's possible. It doesn't say it's not possible. It says, if it were possible. That gives an indication that maybe it's not. But my next statement, the New Testament is constantly warning the Christian to hang on to Jesus. And that statement right there prompted me to stop writing and start looking for all that I could find of the warnings that the New Testament, through Jesus and all the writers, gave Christians to be careful and watch and hang on. I found the word take heed, and it warned us about stuff. It was used 37 times. To be mindful of things, it was used 8 times. To watch out, 14 times. To beware, 15 times. To endure, 15 times. And to flee some things in order to protect our status with Christ, 12 times. All of those together, 37 and 8, 45, 59, 74, 84, 89, and 12 is 101 times that I found in just a few minutes that the New Testament tells us, be careful, Christians. You need to be concerned about who you are and what status you are and how you rate with heaven. Be careful about it. I think at least the idea is, and I know this did me, I've had too many people tell me, oh, you don't have to worry about anything like that because once saved, always saved. Well, I have had spells in my life since I was baptized as a young Baptist boy at 10 that I didn't care whether I lost it or not. And I would do whatever I wanted to do at the time. And I think the Bible is warning us about taking our salvation for granted. When the 70 came back to Jesus and they were all in a group bragging, he had given them power to speak and take demons out of people. And they were all bragging about that, that they actually, in that time, people knew about Satan. They knew a lot more about Satan than we do today. But those people were so ecstatic, the disciples, that they were able to control Satan and get him out of people. And when they said it in front of Jesus, Jesus says, if you're going to rejoice, don't rejoice because you have control over Satan's demons. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. He said the most important thing that we need to think about as Christians, don't take anything for granted. The most important thing that we need to deal with as being a Christian is the fact that our name is written in heaven, that we're saved, that we're born again. That's very, very important. You know, in that verse that God gave this church 2 weeks after it started, from Colossians 2:8, it said, beware lest any man shall mislead you with philosophy and vain deceit. There is that deceitful, deception word again. And not after Christ. There are a lot of churches today, and there are a lot of Christians today who very seldom ever think of Christ, who don't mention Christ. There are churches you can go in and they don't talk about Christ. It's not about Jesus. It's about all kind of other things. If nothing outside of yourself can separate you from the love of God, what about yourself? What about yourself? Could you get so slovenly, if you will, in your following of Jesus Christ that you might be led away from Him? I don't know. But I know this, that most of the warnings in the New Testament are given to individuals, not to churches. It's not to groups, it's to individuals. So the thing is, I need to be concerned about how I serve Jesus. And you need to be concerned about how you serve Jesus. Not exactly what church you might be a member of. And not get sidetracked. There are several warnings talking about your steadfastness, and you're getting sidetracked off of the doctrine that is in Jesus Christ. So if you have been enlightened, you've seen the light, you understood the gospel of Jesus. If you have tasted or experienced heaven's gift, if you've been made partakers or shared the Holy Spirit, have tasted, experienced the good word of God and powers of the world to come. Are you saved? I believe you are. It's hard for us to discern, and we can't do it with any certainty on a very quick discernment. You've got to be around somebody for a while before you see Jesus in there. But when you see Jesus, you know that person is saved. But Jesus knows. It says in when he walked this earth that he knew everybody who was and who was not a believer. He knew their mind. So one thing that's sure at this point in this discussion, because the Bible does not confirm that once saved, always saved. There is no scripture you can go to that plainly states that. But there are things that you can rely on. One of them is in Matthew 13. If you want to turn there. Now, if you remember the seed, the parable of the seed and the sower, there was four places that the seed that with the gospel of Jesus Christ was sown. Four kinds of ground. And only two believed of the kinds of ground it was, and only one actually lasted. And that one that lasted, the number four place that seed was sown, that it was the only one that remained successful, is in verse 23. But he that received the seed into the ground, into the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So here's the thing that we can depend on. If a person is bearing fruit, he's a Christian. Bearing fruit, working the good works of God. To do that, you've got to be obedient to God, because there's the good works, and then there's bad works. Works that don't get any reward. And those are the works that Jesus never told you to do. Fruit bearing is the key. A person who is saved is going to do good things for Jesus Christ. It says in John 15 in chapter 2, every branch that beareth not fruit, God taketh it away. You remember in John when he was talking about the vine and the vine dressers? He said, for every vine that did not, every branch of the vine that did not produce fruit, it was cut away and thrown into the fire. And what it says here is that actually that God takes it away. So then the key then to all of this, how do you look at someone and tell if they are true Christians or not? The thing is, they bear fruit. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, the scripture that you're so familiar with, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, for some of you, maybe all of you, because I'm assuming what goes on in your mind, and that makes me have the responsibility of trying to judge you, because I don't know what goes on in your mind. But if goes on in your mind, the same thing that goes on in my mind is when I took Jesus, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I wanted to do good things for Jesus. And I have off and on wanted to do that all my Christian life. Now, as you get older, as you get closer to God, you will get to a place to where you will always be ready, as Peter says, to do what God asks you to do. I think about the scripture in Acts where an angel told Philip to go down to Gaza, on the road to Gaza. 45 miles away was where he was supposed to go. Angel didn't tell him why he was going, or where he was going, or what he was going to have to do when he got there. But the next sentence says, and Philip arose and went. A fellow told me one time, on the basis of that scripture, that the call of the Holy Spirit is never 24 hours old. That the Bible says that whenever the Holy Spirit spoke to people, they got up then and they went and did whatever they were supposed to do. Whatever they had to do that was doing, they laid it aside and immediately went and were obedient to the Holy Spirit's call in their life. So it comes down to this then. If I was created by God to one day be a Christian and to do good works for God, that's what I'm supposed to do. Now, is my concern one of not taking or taking my salvation for granted? No. Does it have an idea that I'm supposed to be that way? In a way, yes. because God, with predestination and election, selected me way before the world was ever even formed. But I was created so that I might bear fruit for Jesus. Some of these other things might be arguable. Because I tell you this, after a week of studying it, taking words apart, spending a great deal of time, I cannot tell you that once saved, always saved is proven in the Bible. Or I cannot tell you that those who were pulled away were really Christians to start with. I can't tell you. That, to me, is still vague. But I know this. I don't have to be concerned about that. I don't have to be concerned about me losing my salvation. As long as I answer God's call every time He calls me through the Holy Spirit to do something that He calls me to do. As long as I do that, that is, you will know them, 1 John says, by their fruit. You'll know them by their love, and you'll know them by their fruit. So Jesus in us creates love. And Jesus in us legitimately creates fruit. So that question can come up, and that could be argued, I guess, by Bible scholars from now to the end of time. But the thing is, as a Christian, and there are times when I wondered early on if I was, I've dealt with I don't know how many people who were still wondering if they were born again. I have seen people who came to the altar sometime 8 or 10 times trying to be rebaptized because they wasn't sure that when they were baptized before if they were really a Christian. I don't think that's the way we're supposed to live. But I do know this, that if you want to prove to yourself and to other people that you're really a Christian, what you do is good works for Jesus. That's it. Now, we understand, I hope, that good works for Jesus can even be one word to somebody. I believe that a good work can be just making somebody think of Jesus in a day that they otherwise would not have thought about Him is a good work. And that's needed by Christians and by the unsaved too. So, number two, I personally believe that this whole thing about climate change, because of what I studied in God's Word, is of no effect whatsoever. The scientists differ. There are people on both sides, very well-grounded scientists on both sides. Some say it is, some say it isn't. But in my mind, those people who are saying it is have left the correct doctrine of Jesus Christ. So that may be something that can inform you about how to believe. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your instruction. I thank You for Your revelation that teaches us what You're saying and what You mean. It's like one prayed that God would show us the meaning underneath the words. And I thank You for that. So Lord, we ask You to bless us and this church and us as a group as we care for each other, as we love each other, as we try to meet each other's needs. I thank You, Lord, for us being available to these people who have suffered from the tornado this week, that we might be able to uplift them and let them know that whatever we're doing for them is because of You, Jesus. That everything we do does bring no glory to us whatsoever. It's all because of You. So Lord, thank You for allowing us to be called Your children. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.